Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host as always, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
Hello Chris, I'll level with you, I've just woken up because I slept through my alarm and made the podcast record way later than it needed to be, so apologies for that, Chris.
Top London radio DJ and he's late, sleeping through the podcast.
I never do that. What an idiot.
You did it in Osaka, if I recall. I was like, we're all off to go filming in Osaka. I went, where's Pete? Oh, he's asleep still.
Oh, I mean,
one off.
Yeah, but that's holiday time, though, isn't it? It's not work time.
Yeah. Every day's work time on the Abroad Japan channel, Pete. Anyway, you did make, ladies and gentlemen, Pete Donaldson did make his debut finally for the first time outside of Natsuki the movie on the Abroad Japan channel this week. And the feedback, the reviews, I've been reading the reviews, have been pretty good, Pete.
It's mainly about my face, isn't it?
You seem to be loved by the people.
It's mainly about my hairline. Somebody made the comment, that haircut is quite a good idea for someone with a receding hairline. And that man looks like Edward Snowden. And that man looks like...
That was my favourite one.
Edward Snowden? See that one. I've had a million lookalikes in my life, but Edward Snowden's just one of those ones that I've never had before, so never mind.
Who is it you have had? I remember you mentioned
There was one that I did have in the comments that made me laugh, because I have had that before, and it's a young... Who's the fella out of Genesis, the drummer? Phil Collins. I've had a young Phil Collins. Because Phil Collins...
You look nothing like him.
No, honestly, Phil Collins released an album back in the day, probably about 10 years ago now, and it was basically a picture of him as a younger man. And genuinely, I do look a little bit like a young Phil Collins, but who's ever seen a young Phil Collins? Once his hair went, he's just an old fat Phil Collins, isn't he?
Either way, it's not particularly flattering.
No, nobody wins there.
I did a little post on Twitter earlier saying, what did you think of Pete Donaldson? I was hoping there was going to be a wave of abuse, which I could just read out for the next half an hour. But unfortunately, it is mostly praise. The only criticism you did get were for your shorts. Apparently, they people didn't like your shorts. They were quite bold, apparently.
Yeah, they were a bit much. But I was expecting to be, on the road, on the bike and stuff. But we actually went through a couple of cities, so I could change into... I don't think I'm in shorts in the next one, put it that way.
Thank God for that. I don't remember what you're wearing, actually.
No, I don't.
Either way, I was good. And if you haven't seen our episode yet, guys, do check it out on YouTube. It's quite a good one. It's one of my favourite ones yet. Also, last week, I mentioned that I mentioned that I'm going to get a tattoo, hopefully early next year. And a lot of people come out with some good feedback. One of the things that people keep bringing up is I should get the tattoo on a scroll. If you haven't listened to last week's podcast, I decided I want to... a tattoo of a Japanese proverb, kishikaise, which means to be reborn from death or to recover from a bad situation, bounce back. And a lot of people said it should be on a scroll. And a lot of other people said I should have a phoenix next to it as well to symbolise rebirth.
Ooh.
So some nice ideas there. Keep them coming, guys. I'm open to anything. What do you think, Pete? You're the tattoo master.
Well, there's a lot of great artists that follow you, I've noticed. I've had a couple of... little cartoons drawn of me as I've joined the trip across Japan. But I don't know about Scroll though. Scroll seems a little bit old school for me, like a little kind of like, you know, one of those kind of like hokey little scrolls that you'd see. I used to draw them when I was a kid. Maybe I'm just sort of thinking of a particular kind of scroll. Maybe those ones, you know, like is it Hokusai, the guy who did the Great Wave? The Japanese bloke who started painting, who became famous when he was 80, and he said everything else before then that he painted was absolute trash, which is really funny. And he managed to. That's why I'm starting my YouTube channel when I'm 50.
In Japan.
When I get kicked out of England, I'm going to go to Japan to start a horrible channel. It just sort of reminds me of that, really. But maybe something a little bit more like the scroll could look a bit more Japanese. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I still need to add something to it, like something that I like and believe in. I kind of want to give it a 80s retro aesthetic because I love retro wave and vapor wave and 80s stuff. So it'd be quite cool to have that around it. I don't know. I need to give it some more thought. I'll probably let an artist dream it up and send me some designs because I'm absolute crap at thinking up things. It's going to happen.
It's a pity that the Japanese tattooist who's really good that I know is now in Lille in France because he married a French lady. So no dice there, unfortunately. He's closer to me than he is you.
I'll have to pop over to Lille. Mm. So while I've been on the road cycling, guys, the fax machine has built up. It's overflowing with messages and emails from you guys. So today we're just going to sit down and read a few of them out and go through some of your questions. We've got so many. What is the first one, Pete? What have we got?
Hello, Pete and Chris. A really standard way to start any podcast, I think it's fair to say. I'm always listening to your podcast. This is from Tim. I'm always listening to your podcast while driving across Germany. I love your discussion. I've changed enjoy to love because I'm pouring a little sugar on it. About Japanese topics while I drive back and forth between the place I'm staying to go to university. I'm majoring in psychology. And my hometown, driving duration is about 5.5 hours, so thanks for keeping me entertained. Wow. My questions for both of you are the
very
following.
Detailed description.
Yeah, 5.5 hours,
driving
though.
Across Germany.
I've heard the concept of accepting your fate is heavily embedded into Japanese culture. It even has its own phrase, shogunai, or shikataganai, translated to can't be helped, which I quite liked. Your local 7-Eleven doesn't have your favourite fried chicken, Chris. Shogunai. Someone cut you off in traffic. Shogunai. I expect Japanese people don't get angry over things very often. How did or how do you experience this, Chris?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think Japanese people are a bit more fatalistic than we are in the West. They just accept their fate, which I think is a good thing, because in the UK, when somebody spills milk, we whinge and we bitch about it for the next 3 weeks. So, the milk's been spilled. Whereas in Japan, they kind of go, oh, well, can't be helped, eh? And then they get on with it.
Oh, do they?
And so whenever there's a disaster in Japan, people just seem to get back up, pick up the pieces and get back on with their lives very quickly. And I find it always very inspiring, actually. But I've never... I use the phrase myself quite a lot, shogunai, which kind of, just literally means it can't be helped, right? Shogunai. But I really don't hear it that much in public or with people saying it. So I don't know. But Japanese people definitely are pretty fatalistic, and in a good way, I believe.
I guess, I mean, we've spoken before about like the differences between Japanese culture and us, and it is kind of like... They do seem more resilient, but they don't have any religion to sort of help them out with that, to be honest. They just seem to be a bit more resilient, a bit more grown up, maybe. I don't know.
Resilient. There's definitely some spiritual element to it. They've got Buddhism and Shintoism, but really, you ask most people, and they are just atheists here, with some kind of strong cultural element built into it. But... they just get on with it, and that's quite cool. Aww. But honestly, I really haven't experienced the phrase shogunai much in public, but I say it a lot more than most people. I think it just sounds cool. Shogunai.
Yeah, it's a cool niche.
Use that
cool
one,
word.
Pete. Find a way to use that today. Something good doing.
Well, Tim goes on to sort of say that some travel guides refer to Osaka as a very socially interactable location. They suggest opening an imaginary gunfight, pointing your finger gun at people in the streets, and people would either reenact a dramatic death for you or even hide behind cover and start shooting back. Is that just some made-up fantasy to make you look stupid or actually true? Really, Chris? I've never heard of this before in my life.
So, yeah, it's actually a thing. If you go online, type out, like, Osaka shootout, hopefully the right video will come up. It won't be some sort of horrible, violent video.
Atrocity.
But, yeah, it's a thing in Osaka. People are very laid back, very sociable. I recently gave some dating advice to somebody coming to Japan, and he said, where am I most likely to, you know, meet or get talking to Japanese girls? And I was like, well, it doesn't really happen in Japan. People don't come and make the first move. But if they were to make the first move, it's most likely to happen in Osaka. Because people there are just very friendly, confident, laid back. And yeah, this pointing finger gun thing, if you pretend to shoot someone, a bit like that episode of Spaced, which I love so much. If you pretend to shoot someone, they won't hesitate to pretend to die and react to it in a dramatic way.
I'm so gutted.
I wish I'd known that when we were there.
Well, America, the kids of America Mura, they were quite open when we were talking to them. You'll see that in a video in the future, won't you?
Yeah, that's coming out next week. Pete and I, whilst filming in Osaka, we actually managed to chat to a group of four or five university students who were just sitting around drinking in the town square of Osaka. And they taught us some phrases, didn't they? That was really fun. But I think Osaka is a cool place. And if you want to try and make Japanese friends really easily, that's the most likely place to do it. And do try the fake shootout thing. I'm going to try that. That could be a great video next year. It's on my bucket list of things to do. Just walk through Osaka with a GoPro pretending to shoot people and hope I don't get arrested for all the wrong reasons.
Do it in a police station. Erwin's email.
Erwin, yes. Hello, Chris and Pete. I enjoy listening to the podcast every Wednesday. In the past few years, my interest has grown about the world and all the places in it. I thought that's a great opening line.
Yeah.
I thought that it would be cool to record all the places I go to, but have trouble deciding on how. As of right now, I'm thinking about either making videos, like Abroad in Japan on YouTube, although I'm a bit camera shy, or writing everything in a journal. Chris, after doing this for so long, how would you recommend it, and what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to do this? How would I start? How would I make it fascinating and entertaining? And what are your, Chris and Pete, what are your overall thoughts on this? Erwin. And in brackets, Erwin has put underneath his name. In case you're wondering, it's pronounced Er, like a dog growl, and win, like you're winning a game.
Erwin.
So Erwin.
Erwin.
Oh, God, that was...
Erwin.
It's not what I wanted to hear in my ears.
He said the dog growl. It's not like... It's his fault. Erwin. Erwin. Erwin.
Thank you, Erwin. Honestly, I don't know. I think a lot of people start making videos. I see a lot of people who say, oh, I'm going on holiday, Chris, I want to start a vlog or a video journal, and then they lose steam and get a bit bored after a while. I do think the best thing to do is just to take loads of photos. When I go on holiday these days, I just take a camera and I just take loads of pictures, and sometimes I write a journal, but usually it fizzles out after a few days. But I think photos are easier than videos. Because if you're making a video, it can be difficult to appreciate your surroundings because you're often thinking, oh, I need to film this or I need to film that. And you miss a lot of things. So often when I'm travelling around filming, I'm not really in the moment. My mind is elsewhere. So when I do go on holiday, I don't ever film. I try not to. So that's my advice. Just take loads of photos and if you want, just write a little journal down. Unless you really, really want to make videos, in which case, try it and see if you enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, if you don't enjoy it, it ain't going to be fun and it's going to ruin your holiday.
Yeah, exactly. And well, if you're taking time out of your schedule, and you should be relaxing and just enjoying it and enjoying the moment. So maybe vlogging isn't the thing. I think the different approaches that you and I think Sharla, who was on the trip very briefly with you guys, both of you guys kind of operate. Chris's kind of production style is very different to Sharla. Sharla will just walk through she'll just be walking somewhere and she'll get a camera out and just go and just talk into it and stuff. But Chris, is it fair to say you're a little bit more methodical, a little bit more, I wouldn't say thoughtful, but like, you know, you're very, I'm going to go to this place and just get it done, and you treat it like a proper film shoot, you know what I mean? And you can tell with the different styles that you guys have on YouTube and stuff.
I guess I'm always seeking out a narrative, right? In my head, I'm building up a picture of what the video is going to be like, what the start and the middle and the end are going to be like, what the story is we're going to tell. I often find I get a little bit stressed when I'm out and about filming because I've got so much going on in my head It's like I'm editing it in my head as I do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Charlotte just whips out the camera and gets on with it, and I'm quite envious of that style. It's a lot more laid back, that's for sure. I like your method, Pete. Just take
just standing in the background.
Instagram photos of you in silly positions doing weird stuff.
Well, that's the thing, though, isn't it? I had such the easy job in the few days that I spent with you guys. I'm just in the background, and whenever you need me, you point the camera at me and I'll just shout something stupid and then I can go back to doing whatever I'm doing, really. So for me, it was a real dream. So just do that. Just become friends with a YouTuber who wants to do the YouTube-y thing, and you can just stand in the back and you know, stress them out with giving them, throwing them curveballs.
Exploit a YouTuber friend.
Exploit a YouTuber friend. Yeah, exactly. But it's your holiday, for crying out loud. Just take a few pictures. Enjoy it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
Augustine. Hello, Augustine. I've got a little eye. I, you know the little marks on top of the eye? I always forget what. Augustine? Oh, I don't know. Either way.
Augustine.
Augustine. Hi, Chris and the Pete. I'm Uruguayan. I'm living in Ireland under Italian citizenship. Wow. What a mix. Who listens to the podcast on the commute to his weekly Japanese class? That's insane. I'm planning on going to Japan for the first time in 2020 after the Olympics. The idea is to take a 3-month sabbatical. That's a good idea. For the first leg of the trip with friends, which is going to be about a month and a half, my friends and I were thinking it would be cool to do a journey across Japan on an RV, like a motorhome. I've read that there are plenty of places for RV with on-site services like showers and so on. However, fuel, insurance and manoeuvring through tiny streets when in towns could be quite a challenge and bring unnecessary stress to what should otherwise be an enjoyable trip. What do you think, Chris and Pete? Would this be worth it, or would we just be better off booking several Airbnb or Ryokan? Cheers, Augustine.
Yeah, stuff the RV.
Honestly, oh my word.
I'll just, don't bother. Because Japan is a country that's so well connected that it just feels perverse sometimes to just rent a car and an RV. Because you can just drive around, you can just get on trains and travel the country in seconds. Mm. Whereas an RV, you know, it just takes a lot longer. And seeing my team drive around, my production team who helped me with Journey Across Japan, seeing them, they had a big kind of people carrier. And all the situations they got in, apart from, you know, one day the car got punctured, a tyre buggered, a window got blown out over a period of a month. Lots of things went wrong. And I think you're going to have a lot less stress if you're just staying in Airbnb and Japanese inns and things. And also, it's kind of fun staying in Airbnbs and inns. You'll see a lot more of Japan that way, I think, and probably meet more people as well if you stay in guest houses and things. But no, I don't know anyone who's ever travelled Japan in an RV, and I think there's a good reason for that. I just don't think it's convenient or fun. So
it's fine.
I wouldn't recommend that.
It's fine on the big motorways and stuff. It's fine getting from one place to the other, but as soon as you get into the towns and the cities, it's just bloody impossible. Unless you're
just
actually
the density,
going,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even driving around, say, Osaka. We were in the sort of like the Namba, Shinsaibashi kind of area. And just watching Ian kind of manoeuvre like a not a huge vehicle through the streets was just, oh man, it was insane. No wonder he smashed the window that time.
Yeah, I mean, poor old Ian. But I mean, yeah, Japan's incredibly dense, right? I think an RV would be awesome across North America. You've got big, wide open spaces and lots of places. But Japan is very mountainous, it's very dense, and it just wouldn't be fun, honestly. Don't do it, Augustine. Don't do it.
There's very few times you actually come down on one side or the other. No, don't do it. But we've had two there. Just enjoy your holiday, don't YouTube, and also don't be in an RV. So we're very unequivocal today.
Killing a lot of dreams today. Next email's from AJ. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is AJ. I'm a university student from the small state of Ohio. I absolutely love the podcast. It makes my long, dark, cold and sometimes rainy 6 a.m. mornings a lot more pleasant and educational. I've been feverishly following your bike trip because I plan to take my own Japanese cross-country trip with my girlfriend after college. As it stands right now, the trip's route is to start in Tokyo, hitting up Super Potato, and seeing the sights. What a great place to start, a video
Akihabara.
Game shop.
that's rapidly losing its stock.
This is like the Pete Donaldson itinerary, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hiking along the eastern coast to Kyoto, where I plan to make the pilgrimage to Nintendo headquarters, naturally. Mm. And finally ending the trip at the supposed sunflower field of Akinor. Since you've been living in Japan longer than I have, are there any cool places along our route that you think we should check out? Thank you so much for your amazing work. You inspire me every day. Cheers, AJ. What an itinerary. Retro video game shop, the Nintendo headquarters, and a sunflower field. It's quite an unconventional itinerary, AJ, but quite a good one. Mm. And fair play for wanting to hike along the east coast to Kyoto. I don't know anybody who's done that.
No.
So guessing you've got a month or two ready to do that.
Hirocho. So Hirocho Station in Akihabara. There's a place called Game Shop near that. That's really, really good. And also next to Super Potato, or really close to Super Potato, obviously Mandrake, big seven-story nerd tower. Go in there. There'll be some retro games in there. Because Super Potato's starting to lose its stock. It's so well-known and so famous. Westerners are coming over and just buying all their shit and then disappearing with it. And people are doing the same thing stuff on eBay and things like that. So, yeah, it's just kind of sad. But, you know, it's their own fault for being bloody brilliant, isn't it? Still worth going, though.
I must admit, though I rage about Super Potato, so if those of you who don't know, Super Potato is a retro game shop. You go in there, you can buy everything from game history, and kind of games consoles from the 80s and 90s that have long been forgotten by many, but are almost in brand new condition, right? You could buy like a Nintendo 64 wrapped up as though it was made yesterday. I like going in there for nostalgia, but I realised of the six or seven times I've been to Super Potato in Akihabara,
never bought
a single thing once. Nothing. It is so damn overpriced.
It is quite expensive, but the hardware's relatively cheap. Like, if you're buying something like a Game Boy, it's like 15 quid, 18 quid, something like that. I bought a couple just for gifts for Christmas, because, like, obviously Game Boys just aren't a thing anymore over here. So I just bought a couple and just, you know, stuck it in people's stockings, which is quite good. There's another shop called Friends as well. I'm looking
That's
at my
really
list.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, really. Buy a little retro Game Boy for someone, because you're like, oh, I'll play a little bit of Mario.
I might do that.
Yeah.
I might do that now.
There you go.
I'll steal your ideas. If I got that in my stocking, I'd be so elated. Christmas Day, waking up, what's Santa put in my stocking? Oh, it's a Game Boy from 20 years ago.
I noticed
play some
that,
Bomberman.
Speaking of import and export businesses, I noticed that a friend of yours, I was watching a Tokyo Creative, one of your agent. Well, I think he's, are they technically your agent? I don't know, but they helped out on the cycle. I noticed
network.
That somebody,
they're a network.
Right. They, I noticed that somebody turned up with some cider, a box of cider. Now, I presume that had something to do with you and your demands.
I actually had my friend Ellen joined us later on in the cycle, and she's from Cambridge, and she flew over to Japan for a holiday, joined the cycle for a few days, and most importantly, brought some Magnus cider.
I'm so sorry for not bringing some now.
Yeah, it just rubbed
terrible.
That in.
Terrible.
I asked Pete Donaldson, ladies and gentlemen, to bring numerous things from the UK, numerous trinkets and gifts, chocolate, crisps, cider, all the three things that I really want. He brought nothing, absolutely nothing.
Absolutely
all he did
nada.
Bring me was a coin from Zimbabwe, which he forgot to give to me.
I brought that back home. It's next to me right now. I can see it from where
Ooh,
I am.
Disgrace.
I'm so sorry, Chris. And I got to, go right across Japan on a bike with my boy and, didn't lift a finger.
You're a terrible friend. Next question from Isaac Chung. Hi, Chris and Pete. Greetings from Hong Kong. I have to say, I'm loving the podcast. I began watching Abroad in Japan videos maybe 2 years ago? Your Ooh. Japanese Love Hotel video was the ambrosia that filled the emptiness I felt in my soul after leaving my trip from Tokyo. I love that. That's a very picturesque, poetic phrase. The ambrosia that filled the emptiness of his soul. Oh, that's song lyrics.
Fantastic.
Love it. Anyway, how people always tell you to try new things. So my questions are, when has trying a new thing caused you to completely regret making the decision afterwards? And have you ever met a rude Japanese person? Ooh. I look forward to the next episode of the podcast. Yours truly, Isaac Chung. That's quite an interesting question.
Nice mix.
A decision, trying a new thing that caused me to immediately regret that decision. I'm going to have to think about that one. Does anything spring to mind for you?
I think the first day I came over, I don't know what I'd done, but I was sleeping with an eye mask I'd had for quite a while, and I woke up with some kind of eye problem. So you'll notice at the start of the last video that me and Chris were in, my eyes are really puffy at the start.
I got on the cycle and they
look a bit. I don't know, maybe. But I was just like, oh god, I've got really puffy eyes at the moment. I tried an eye mask that I had from the trip I'd taken 2 weeks before in Zimbabwe, and for some reason it made my eye go big. So there's that.
So you regret wearing a Zimbabwe eye mask?
Never regret trying stuff, unless it's like murder. Right. Or something you're not comfortable with, or getting cajoled to do something you don't want to do. try everything. And, you know, what have you learned? I've tried eating... I've tried getting a taste for snails. I've spoken about this on the podcast before. Like, I don't like snails. I think they're disgusting. But I think that... I think it's important to try things more than once to try and get a taste for them. That's how I got a taste for natto. I can happily eat natto now.
See, that's something I regret every time. Just
every
eating
time.
Anything with natto flavour just makes me sick. In terms of if I've ever met a rude Japanese person,
yeah.
Not really. I've encountered some kind of... There was one moment in a video I made a few days before you turned up, Pete. We were in a market where I was filming with Sharla, my Canadian friend, vlogger friend. And we went to this market in Kanazawa. And
right.
We were filming, we found some wasabi roots. Most people don't know either, but the wasabi you have with sushi is actually not really wasabi usually. It's just
like horseradish
kind of sauce that's been coloured. But we actually found a real wasabi root, and we were trying to film it. And then the woman at the shop front just sort of walked over and pushed Sharla out of the way. She was like, "Hotoi tene," which means leave me alone, and sort of just pushed Sharla. And we were both really shocked by that. I did kind of catch it on camera.
I want to see
that.
Didn't
do it justice. But yeah, that was a bit rude. She could have just said, "Oh, please don't film," or something. But
it's
the way she sort of came behind Sharla and just sort of just pushed her really hard from behind and just pushed her out of the way, out of the shot. Pretty funny and fairly rude.
And then she turned to you and said, "You have got a more considered YouTube style than Sharla." And then shoved a horseradish in her face.
I should have, should have done something.
What I like about Sharla and you is that
Sharla
filmed a load of stuff or a little bit of stuff while we were out, and Sharla's just waiting for you to release your videos so she can release her videos. It's like a really fun arms race that you guys have got going on.
An arms race of video.
An arms race of Adobe Premiere. I don't think
this
I'm in any of
those. This is your big week, to be honest, Pete.
Like, yeah, you reckon?
Over the next 10 days, there's going to be 4 videos of you on my channel.
I don't even remember doing 4.
People are
going to
be bombarded.
What was the...
Pete Donaldson week.
So we did Osaka. We did Osaka first, didn't we? And so we've been in... We were Lake Biwa to Kyoto. Then what did we do in Kyoto? I can't remember. Oh, at the Monkey Park, yes! Kyoto in the Monkey Park, and we made the monsters. And then Osaka, and then Kobe. Or was it the other way around? I forget. But either way, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
And you should be. I'm currently like embroiled in editing it now and trying to make you not look like a absolute bloody maniac.
Can you work
all the stuff you said, that Monkey Park, just makes you look like you're on drugs or something. Like, you're just coming out with the most weird phrases. God, editing a video of Pete Donaldson, ladies and gentlemen, is anything but an easy task.
Well,
if I just put in everything you said, I think there'd be some genuine questions surrounding your sanity. But I'm going to do you a favour. I'm going to make you look good.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that.
Gooder than
that.
You already do.
I very much appreciate that.
Got a question from Miller. It says, "Dear Chris and Pete, hi from Canada. I listen to your podcast on my commute to work and usually ignore the glances I get when I'm listening and laughing to the antics you guys get up to." That's awesome. I like it when I make people laugh out loud on buses. It's always been my dream.
I like how you said
my four.
I like how you used the word... You said antiques rather than antics.
I know. I knew you would call me out on that.
Lovejoy or something.
My four girlfriends and I are planning to go to Japan in October for 2 weeks next year before the 2020 Olympics rush. It'll be our first time visiting Japan, and I had a question regarding how easy it will be to walk into a manga cafe or capsule hotel and find accommodation without booking in advance. There's several one-night stays in between travel times, and we were planning to stay at a cafe or a capsule hotel instead of booking a place. Would you suggest doing that or recommend booking in advance? Thanks for the podcast, Miller. I would recommend trying to book in advance, Miller, because Japan doesn't seem to have enough hotels ever, and especially if it's a Friday or a Saturday, it can be really hard in a lot of cities to actually find accommodation. As I've found throughout this cycle, there were some times where it looked like we were going to have to sleep in a dustbin or under a bridge, because they're just full all the time. So I wouldn't recommend that, especially if you've got four of you. I know, my four girlfriends and I, so five of you, that's maths. All five of you are going to struggle, I think. So definitely book in advance. I've only stayed at a manga cafe once. Do you know what that is, Pete? Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, what, sorry, a manga cafe?
A manga cafe?
No. I've been to a boozer that's obsessed with manga and anime, but I don't know what a manga cafe is. Is it just like a library?
It's a cafe and it's filled with manga comic books. But you kind of get a little booth. It's kind of weird. You go in and they've got a drink section usually where you can get lots of drinks. You pay a set rate and you get like a whole drink bar. And you pay for that and you pay for the booth for like an hour or two or the whole night. And then you get a little booth about the size of, say, a business class seat on an airplane.
It's right.
The easiest way I can describe, yeah, probably. And you get this big reclining chair usually in your own little booth with a curtain. You can sit there, read, relax, play video games and even sleep. And a lot of people do it because it's kind of cheap and it's a lot more, I don't know, flexible than just going into accommodation or a capsule hotel.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do it. I've only done it once when I was at Kansai International Airport and there was one there. And yeah, it wasn't very fun. I couldn't sleep at all. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe worth sleeping, trying once, but other than that, no.
Yeah, I think doing like one night, I've still not done a bloody capsule hotel, but doing one night in a capsule hotel with the jet lag and all that stuff, I think that kind of thing would get very old very, very quickly. You'd be like, oh, I'm just tired because I've not slept properly. And it's just kind of a knock on effect. And you know for a fact you're not going to sleep in a bed next time. You're going to go to a manga cafe or sleep in a karaoke booth or go to a rubbish little capsule. So yeah, give yourself a fighting chance, Mila.
Yeah, I mean, I had to check out the capsule hotel. If you do choose a capsule hotel, make sure it's a good one with a decent sized capsule that has air conditioning, because the last time I stayed in one, it wasn't well ventilated and it just felt like I was in an oven or something. And I booked for like four nights, and after the first night I had to check out, and I had to lie. I had to say I was going back to Sendai on immediate business, because the staff looked shocked that I was checking out. It looked like I'd greatly offended them. I didn't want to tell them the truth that I thought their capsule hotel was just absolute shit. I kind of had to say, oh no, business trip, sorry, terrible event, I have to go now, bye. Don't put yourself through that. Hostels are better.
Yeah, TripAdvisor doesn't sound like a big thing with Japanese people. People don't review things badly. Hello to Cordy. I want to do Cordy's. We've got a couple more. But Cordy says, hi, Chris and Pete. Hope your gents are having a smashing day. We are having a smashing day. I have had more sleep than I expected to get because I slept through my alarm. Winning. Chris, when it comes to choosing...
I spent the whole day editing Pete Donaldson's face at a monkey park, so you can decide who the winner is there.
I legitimately mugged Chris off. We were supposed to start this recording an hour ago, and I just didn't wake up. I'm so sorry, Chris. I'd like to publicly denounce my behaviour.
Straight after this, you've got to go and interview Suede, one of my favourite bands.
I love Suede.
Get up late, miss half the podcast, then run off and interview Suede. That is a day in the life of Pete Donaldson.
Hey,
you put my life to shame.
Did you like my Instagram picture of me and Noel Gallagher? I know you're a bit of an Oasis fan, and Liam Frey from the Cortinas on the Instagram.
Uniting them. It was a wonderful photo.
Yeah.
I'm glad you put it up.
So basically, Cody says, Chris, when it comes to choosing locations for filming, are you more of a film first and ask questions later kind of guy? Or do you get permission beforehand? Have you ever been put in any unsavoury situations due to your filming, besides being stuck with Pete? That's rude. He's Cody's a financial analyst, and apparently our podcast makes the financial analysis go by much quicker, which is great news. So... pleasure to help you with your figures.
I enjoy the little jibe at you being not just a man, but an unsavoury situation unto yourself.
Well, that would mean I was sweet, surely.
It depends. It depends on what we're filming, to be honest, Cody. I think for much of this trip, it was just we literally plan what we're doing that morning or the night before. There was no planning in advance. You can kind of tell by the videos, right? There is not a lot going on planning-wise. Often the videos I make with Ryotaro, which are more kind of travel-style videos, we do work with the local government to try and do something that the local government would like us to show, or, you know, to paint a picture of Japan that looks good or make it look nice. So we do get permission from people there, but for the most part, no, we do just turn up and film stuff. That's why it was quite difficult this trip trying to get Japanese people in the videos, because they're a little bit reluctant, right, to come on camera in the first place, because Japanese people are a bit camera shy unless they're absolutely wasted. So if you go into a bar, it's easy to film people, but other than that, it could be a little bit complicated, especially if you tell them you've got a YouTube channel with you know, a million subscribers. That's another great way to put them off. So, yeah, we did a lot of trouble trying to get Japanese people into the videos for this whole trip, unfortunately. So that sucked. So, but generally, you can film anywhere in Japan, and it's not an issue. Just be careful if you're filming in temples and things. It's the only place you might have problems. And if you're not allowed to film somewhere, someone will come out and shout at you without hesitation. So you'll be fine.
I've just remembered that while we were in Kobe, I think you got an email or a message from the Japanese embassy here in London saying that I could visit. I should do that at some point. But they
won't. Remember
not,
that? How did
because
how did that come
being
up?
Invited to the embassy is really exciting, and I
how
really
does that
should
fit
do
in
that
with me filming and not talking
because
to
getting,
Japanese people.
Because
what's
getting
the thought
permission,
process?
Getting permission to do things. I mean, because I can't just turn up now and go, "Hello, I'm Pete. I was in the background of a YouTuber who lives in Japan. Can I come in?" Like, that's not the entry.
I made a video
they
at
need
a Monkey
slightly,
Park. Let me in.
They need slightly more official documentation than that. So, yeah, I'll have to give him an email or something. Or you'll have to give him an email. I said, let Pete in the embassy. He's got important work to do. He needs to plan the ambassador's reception.
You probably bloody sleep through it. Where's Pete? Oh, he's in bed again. Can't be bothered to get up.
He's got the wrong embassy.
Lazy boy. Okay, we're going to have to wrap things up for now, though, guys. We are going to be back next week answering lots more questions. Mm. Hopefully we'll have more time next week because Pete will not sleep.
I'm so
we'll find
sorry.
Out.
I'm so,
I find mean, out the next chapter of Pete's Pete in the morning.
I mean, this
next
was,
week,
this
will
podcast
he wake up, will
was,
he not?
This podcast was recorded within 5 minutes of me waking up, which is, I think, an achievement. You'll have noticed a general kind of, the excitement level from me has gone up and up and up throughout the whole podcast. So, yeah, it's...
Have you been drinking any coffee as we've been doing this?
I am. You might have heard a pfft noise as I opened a can of Diet Coke, so... no sugar, no calories. Slamming my morning beer
before meeting Suede. I must admit, though, last week I recorded my podcast. I recorded this side in Japan. Mm. I recorded in the morning, right? Usually
yes.
We record and it's in the evening here, but I did the morning, and I found I did a lot better than I thought I would in the morning.
Yeah, you were a bit surprised, weren't you?
Maybe I was in awe. It's the magic of coffee.
Well, also, that works for me as well, because, like, 9 o'clock in the morning in England is 12 o'clock when I finish my radio show. So I'm in the groove, mate. I am performing. I'm firing on all cylinders, you see.
I like to think I've warmed you up for a great interview this afternoon with one of my favourite bands.
It's all down to you, Chris. All down to you.
Thank you to everyone for sending in your awesome comments and questions this week. If you do have something you'd like to ask us, send it in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week, as always. There are so many that are built up because of the cycle, so I'm looking forward to diving into some more. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be listening from, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Oh, we were perfectly in time for the byes, Chris.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.